We've been in a series on freedom. And freedom is just one of those key themes of the scriptures, one of those key themes, really, of the Christian faith. And so today, we're well into the series, and we're considering sort of the next phase. We've been talking about how God frees us from, first of all, from sin. Then we've talked about how God frees us from the power of Satan. And today, we're talking about how God frees us from the law. We saw in the scripture the story, really, there's the story of slavery throughout the Old Testament especially, but it becomes most clear in the lives of the people of Israel as they are enslaved in Egypt and then rescued dramatically by God, but all the more fully in what Christ does in freeing us from these three things of sin, Satan, and the law. Now, here's the main sort of idea of today. It will be no surprise if you've been reading the reading guide. There is the title for each week there. God frees us from the law to live by the Spirit. Now, what I hope to do is explain what that means for us today. And one of the first things that I want to say and begin with is to recognize that the law is good. Now, this is the first time, as we've talked about something that God frees us from, that we're talking about how he frees us from something good. Why would God do that? Well, I'm going to explain, first of all, by way of an analogy. The scriptures detail this in just excellent form, of course, especially if you read through Romans and Galatians. We're going to spend a lot of time in Galatians today, but what I want to do is to help you by way of analogy, because I think that'll be a little quicker for us to get into some of the other text around this. And I want to take you back to a memory I had when I was just a young boy. I'm guessing around the age of 11 or 12. I don't know if you have figured this out by now, but I'm a pretty good basketball player, which is pretty obvious based on my height, right? Some of you are looking really perplexed right now. Like, how tall is he? No, I'm not standing on the stage. I'm actually on the floor right now. I was not a super basketball player, but that's the sport that, above any, that I enjoy playing. When I was about 11 or 12, I went to a basketball camp for a week. And during that week, they had, I lived in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia at the time, and they had some of the Halifax Windjammers, the sort of professional team from the city, came and spoke and did some demonstrations for us at the camp. Now, there was this one particular guy, big, tall guy, black guy, bald head, and he sort of, you know, it was the era of Michael Jordan, like the greatest basketball player of all time, and of course, everyone was asking him, are you Michael Jordan? Which he's like, well, no, I'm not Michael Jordan. It's not that great a camp, you know. But it was pretty exciting for us to see this professional basketball player there. He was about 6'7", and man, could he just fly through the air and put a ball through the hoop. And it just looked so beautiful. It was amazing to watch someone so effortlessly just take that ball and put it through the hoop. Now, what did he do to us? You know, we're all like, wow, how did you do that? How did you do that? And he says, well, I'll tell you. And so then he walks through the steps. He gives us the instructions for how to do a slam dunk. Now, what do you think happens with an 11 or 12-year-old boy when he's given the instructions for how to do a slam dunk? He tries. So I want to take you, in your imagination, imagine me a little bit shorter than I am now trying to do a slam dunk. I know some of you think pretty highly of me, but it's obvious that never happened. I could never achieve that slam dunk. No matter how clear the instructions were for the slam dunk, I could never accomplish it. The instructions were good, but I didn't have the capacity to follow them through. There was no way little Gordon was ever going to make that slam dunk. There's no way big Gordon is ever going to make a slam dunk. Let's be honest. But I'll tell you, you know what happens? You take your mind's eye to that moment where that basketball player then takes a child, not Gordon, picks that child up, and they do the slam dunk together. Now, what was impossible for the child is made possible because of the one who gave the instructions. Now, that's just kind of a simple analogy, but that is what the law is for us. And Galatians details this just really, really well. And I won't take the time to go through all of the setup to this, but it says for us that what happens is when we get the law is good, but it's meant to reveal God's character. It's meant to show what life looks like when it's lived God's way. But the problem is that we don't have the capacity. Because we're sinful, we're broken, we're imperfect people, we simply can't do the instructions, no matter how clear they are, no matter how good they are. And because of that, it's impossible. And instead, what the law ends up doing is because we can't live up to it, it condemns us. And it brings us into slavery because we can never accomplish it. The only way to accomplish the law, the only way to follow the instructions, is if God helps us and does it for us. That is the work of faith. We're going to explore that and explain that more, but I hope that that analogy will help you to understand and see something of what the law is, why it's good, but why it's also a condemnation for us, why it's actually, it ends up badly for us, and we need to be rescued from it. It was always good, but it was always meant to show us that we couldn't do it, that we couldn't fully represent the character of God, that we couldn't fully live up to God's ways. We needed his help. It was always meant to show us that. So it is good, and yet it also brings condemnation to us in that way. And what I want to do now is just show you a few verses here. As we begin the life of faith, as we try to follow Jesus, we're going to get into all kinds of trouble if we keep trying to follow the law still. If we keep trying to make ourselves right in God's eyes by doing all kinds of things, all kinds of fancy behaviors, all kinds of things. Now, you need to understand, the Jewish people in the Old Testament, we see about 613 different laws that they were meant to keep. That's a lot. And it only goes to show and further underline the fact that it's impossible to keep all of this. And so now Paul, who's writing to the people in Galatia, writes this in what we call the letter to Galatians, chapter 3, verse 3. So he says, you've been trying to do this on your own, but how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? In other words, you started out this whole thing. You became a follower of Jesus because you trusted him, and he gave you the Spirit. That's how you got into this whole new life anyway. But you're not going to get better. You're not going to become a better follower of Christ by your own effort. It's only going to be because he did it for you. And he further says later in the chapter, verses 21 and 22, if the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Now here's what happens, and here's the trick that we get ourselves into. We say to ourselves, well, now that I follow Jesus, I need to do everything he says, which is great. But when we look to those things, when we look to the law and say, my life now is me following Jesus and doing all of the law, those two things together will mean that I'm okay with God. When that's what we think, when that's what we do, we fail. Because Jesus plus anything else is nothing. But when we focus and allow our faith to rest solely, only on Jesus, then we have the possibility for life. Now, this might seem like a subtlety, but this is the thing that trips us up. And if we don't get this clear, if we still continue to believe that it is our responsibility as Christians to follow the law to make God happy, we will find ourselves in continued slavery. This is such an important point that I'm going to spend the rest of our time together helping us see more clearly a division between the two. When we live our lives still based on law, even though we call ourselves a Christian, and when we're living really by the Spirit. This distinction is so important and yet so subtle that it can be hard for us to understand, and it's a reason why many Christians, many followers of Christ today, are still stuck. So it's only by believing in Jesus Christ that we're free. Let's go to the next here. Galatians 5:1. So again, a lot of the verses today are coming from Galatians because it speaks so clearly to this theme. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. So listen, this is something that even back in the earliest times of the church, Christians were getting stuck on. Make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. They were doing it over and over. They were going back to the old ways. For if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, listen how serious this is. You have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Now, I think that's pretty clear. That's a terrible thing. And that is why it is so important for us to make sure that we understand the gospel. And the gospel says there's nothing we can do to make God happy. It's only by our faith in Jesus Christ that makes us good and right with God. You hear that clearly. There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor. That's the gospel. But the good news is that because of Jesus, we don't have to do anything. He's done it all. So let's not keep living this life. How foolish it would be if we kept living this life as if we were still trying to earn God's favor. Okay, so here we go. Let's get into it. Let's go to the next here. I want to take four points that describe what living based on the law looks like. What you might experience, what you might find if you are still in slavery to the law. Or this is what it looks like perhaps if you've never come to trust Christ. What I hope this will do as we first focus on the negative by focus on what it means to live based on the law, that we'll begin to see more clearly just how wonderful it is what Christ offers us with freedom. So first of all, if we're living based on the law, we'll live under a never-ending stress and constant burden. We're constantly having to work. We're constantly having to do. And I've seen Christians, I've certainly even been a Christian, who constantly felt like I had to keep going, keep working, keep earning God's favor. And this is a sign that we're under law. I want you to see the words of Jesus here on this next slide, where he's describing the religious law leaders. This is Matthew 23. He says, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, so basically the most religious people there are, they're the ones who, you know, they teach this religious law. They're the official interpreters of the law of Moses. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Now, I sort of grew up in a generation where there was this changing point in culture. And some of you who are maybe a little bit older than I am would have experienced, or maybe just depending on your home or the circles you grew up in, you lived in that kind of church where there was a constant weight of a list of things you had to do. Or perhaps it was more expressed as things you weren't allowed to do on Sunday. You know, you weren't allowed to go to a movie on Sunday, or you weren't allowed to go shopping, or you weren't allowed to maybe play, you know, sports on Sunday or something like that. Now, I understand there's some benefits to those things, and maybe our culture has slipped too far in another direction. But the message that many of us got, if you grew up in those environments, was that if you didn't do those things, God wasn't happy with you. Or if you did those activities that you weren't allowed to do, you were in trouble. You were wrong. You were bad. And little baby Jesus was crying up in heaven because of you. We laugh, but some of you know that's the kind of message you heard. And so if we are living under that kind of pressure, that burden is constant and forever. And there is so much shame that can go with that. It's a constant weight. And so if you have sensed that already in your life, then you're probably aware of law, how you can never live up to it. And so that's our next point here, number two. Living based on the law? Well, whenever we fail, whenever we break one of those laws, whenever we make a mistake, whenever we do something wrong, we'll think that we're beyond forgiveness or hope. because you keep coming up against the same problem over and over. You keep realizing, I can't do it. I'm an 11-year-old boy trying to make a slam dunk. And you keep coming up to that point of failure, and you keep saying, I'm never going to be good enough. I can't do it. And if you're constantly in that place, not only are you feeling the burden and pressure to keep all the rules, for the Jewish people it looked like eating the right foods, celebrating on certain days, celebrating in certain ways, but for us today it might be all kinds of different things that church leaders or your parents even might have said that you had to do. And whenever we fail, there's just a weight of shame because I'm never going to get this right. How am I ever going to be forgiven? If I can't do this, then God's not going to be happy with me. My parents aren't going to be happy with me, my church, and so on. And so if we're living under the law, we are literally living under the weight of the law. Let's just move on to the next one quickly. Point three. But when we succeed, here's what happens. When we check all those boxes and we do all those things that they've told us we're supposed to do and we don't do all those things, we begin to have this moral superiority. And oh, there's a lot of Christians who have this. You'll see this sometimes, especially we'll see it even on the news in our current day and age, where there's people that are just so proud that they don't live like the heathens do, that they're not living like the pagans. And that was the story of the Pharisees that Jesus absolutely railed against and said, this is just wrong. This is a burden you're creating for other people, and you are sinful and dead inside. That's what Jesus was saying of them. He said, you're evil. And the worst words of condemnation that Jesus had were for those people who should have known this better, and yet were causing such pain for others. So when we succeed somehow in the law, we'll think we're superior and we'll be judgmental of other people. So if you're living under law, not only do you have this constant pressure and burden where you have to accomplish this long list of things, but you also have this sense, once you've actually done some of that, that you're better than other people who aren't doing it. And so if we live under law, it creates this thing in us that is wrong and evil. And fourth and finally, we're constantly asking the questions, have I done enough? Am I good enough? In the end, we are never certain if we are truly welcome, if we truly belong, if we are truly loved. And living under the law is slavery because of this. It's like if you were paying your mortgage for 30 years and you didn't know if you were ever done paying it. And you just keep paying because you never know what the account balance is. Now that is a life of law. That's a life of burden and pain, and that is not at all what God intended for us. That's a burden we cannot bear. Like an 11-year-old boy trying to make a slam dunk. We can't do it. And so the law simply condemns us. All that God has instructed is impossible for us. Now, let's go here to some of these verses that highlight this. Galatians 3:10 says, those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. Now, don't you wish that you knew that verse when your parents were telling you you weren't allowed to play hockey on Sunday? Those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands. All the commands. If you don't get them all, you're written in that all the commands that are written, all 613, if you don't get all 613 of them right, you're under God's curse. Oh my goodness. Is there any hope for us? Well, yes, there is. And that's the whole point of Galatians, is that Christ has given us that hope, given us that freedom. And here on to the next, I want to make sure you see this clearly as well. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law, to get rid of the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. You know, Jesus is the 6'7" tall basket player who can do it. He's the only one. He's the one who is able, because he's perfect, to be able to come and live out the full expression of God's law, which is meant to show God's character. So Jesus comes and fully demonstrates what God is like in his character. Jesus comes and fully lives up to everything that God says because he is God. And because he's the only one that can do that, he fulfills the law. He accomplishes everything that the law set out to do, which is to show the character and nature of God, what it looks like when life is lived God's way. So when we look to Jesus, we see all of that embodied in human form. And when we put our trust in him, we don't have to do it because he has. Now look at this next verse. This explains the transition here. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. He has picked us up and helped us to do a slam dunk. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So previously, everyone was living under this old covenant, this old system of laws that shows that we can't do it. Now what Jesus does is he gives us his Spirit, he lifts us up, and in the hands of God, we are able to make the slam dunk. We are enough. This is the life by the Spirit. It's a new covenant. We are no longer under obligation to those old laws. That contract has been canceled. It's been fulfilled. Now there is a new contract, a new covenant of how we to live, and that's life by the Spirit of Jesus. So I want to take a few moments to articulate what that life looks like. We saw 4 points that articulate life under the law, but now let's look at 4 ways that we live under the Spirit. First of all, we are free from that burden, and we're empowered to live a new life because we don't have to do it in our own strength and ability. We're not under that constant burden and stress and strain of something we can't ever accomplish. You know, you can imagine that scene, what it was like in that gym where, you know, the basketball player gives us the instructions and then just watches kids try to slam dunk and no one can do it. And it's funny for us as observers, but when we're in that position, knowing we are only able to fail, it's a horrible thing. But now, it's like every time we're going for a slam dunk, he's doing it for us. So we're freed from the burden, and we're empowered to live a new life. Let's look at this verse here on the next slide. This is Jesus speaking. He's reminding us of what he's asking us to do. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. See, Jesus doesn't put a new burden on us. He allows us to rest from other work because he's accomplished it. He has fulfilled that law. And now we can rest in him. In 2 Corinthians 3, 17-18, it says, for the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed in his glorious image. Now, what's that verse telling us? Do you remember how the law was meant to show the character of God? Well, now we're living in a new way, which is life by the Spirit, which enables us to show the character of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because the problem is, no matter how good the law was, it could never change us on the inside. It could never change our broken heart. It could never change the sin that's within us, the pain that's within us, the brokenness. But the Spirit of God living in us can change us and begin to make our character like the character of God. So what the law could never accomplish, what we could never do under the law, now by the Spirit of God, we're able to do. And because Jesus' Spirit is in us, and he's the only one who could do it, we're able to begin to look more and more like God. And what we actually find is we start to just fulfill the law ourselves without focusing on it. So he makes us more and more like himself. Living by the Spirit, point two. In failure. So now when we face failure and we don't live up to the standards of God, and let's face it, none of us do, now that brokenness is met with grace. Instead of feeling this constant burden that we can never be relieved of, the sense of forgiveness that we can never achieve, that we can never earn the grace or peace that we want, now what we find in life by the Spirit is when we make a mistake, there's grace for us. Because that's what it means to live by the Spirit. That's what it means to live life in Jesus. We're no longer measured against those laws. We are counted as being in Christ. And the work of the Spirit within us is enough. This is challenging to some of us. This is challenging. In fact, even Peter was just still trying to live out. You know, Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. And even though he'd known Jesus and he'd followed Jesus and all of this, and he taught the church so powerfully, led the church so powerfully, he was still trying to live out those Jewish regulations. At one point, Paul, who's writing here, he says, I had to confront you publicly because you were sinning publicly. This is like a big deal. This is a big deal. But even Peter was still trying to fall back on the law. Okay, so even in failure, we find grace. The next one here, I think there's a verse for that. Galatians 5:16-18. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives now. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So yes, we still will fail, but the more that we lean into following the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, then we won't crave that sinful nature in quite the same way. And when you're directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses anymore. So I'll tell you what, I don't want to be under obligation to the law of Moses because I can't accomplish it. So what's my option? It's to find grace and to live by the Spirit of God. Next, the third point. So you remember what I said, when we are under law in success, what we tend to do is actually become very high and mighty and judge other people. But now what we find ourselves in relation to other people, when we're living life by the Spirit, we live that grace out towards them, and we serve them in love. So instead of saying, I'm better than you, we're able to say, you know what? I make mistakes just like you, and you're not perfect, neither am I, so I'm going to treat you with kindness and grace to show you the blessing that I've received from God. And I'm going to serve you in love. I'm not going to judge you because that's not my place. Only God can judge. I might have to be discerning about whether or not it's wise for me to be around you or to be participating in the same things you are. That's different. That's not judging. That's discerning. But I am going to serve you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to stand in condemnation. I'm going to stand in blessing. And there's a great verse in Galatians again, 5:13. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the character of God, remember, is what the law is for. And what does the law really get summed up as? Loving. Because God is love. So if we're going to live this new life, it means that we're going to love just deeply the way that we care for other people around us. That's what the law was about anyway. But we're only able to do it because he's able to change us on the inside by the Spirit. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Fourth, living by the Spirit means that we are beloved children. No longer do we have to ask, am I good enough? Have I done enough? When we live life by the Spirit of Jesus, we know that we are loved, that it has been taken care of, that we are welcomed, we are received, we are blessed by God, and we are called His own. Let's see the verse here from Galatians 4, and this also, very similar verses are in Romans, but here from Galatians 4:4-7. God sent His Son to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. So you see, instead of living under the law, we're living as children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. The word Abba has just, it takes on a whole new meaning in our culture. I know you think of disco or Mamma Mia or something like that. Abba just means daddy. This is a term of endearment. It's like, you know, you imagine a young child saying, Daddy, Daddy, Dada. This is the cry of just one who is dependent on and who loves God the Father. Dada, Daddy, Father.
Now you're no longer a slave, but you're God's own child. See, we don't have to live under that burden of the law. We can live a new life that's free. You don't have to wonder if you're good enough. You don't have to wonder if you've done enough. You are loved in Jesus Christ. Have you received that love? Have you chosen to live in the freedom of His life by His Spirit? Or are you still trying to earn and accomplish what you could never do? Don't live that life of burden and constant pressure, because it only ends in death. You can never live up to the standards of God. But if you find yourself in Jesus, you put your faith in Him, that's enough. And He takes you up in His hands. You do a slam dunk. What a wonderful gift it is to be counted as His own, to be loved in that way. And I want to just close with that verse once again from Galatians 5. So Christ has truly set us free, brothers and sisters. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. What a blessing it is. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give instructions for us as we come around the table. Father God, we thank You for how You've shown us such incredible love in Jesus. That the law, which is so burdensome for us because we could never live up to it, was fulfilled by Jesus so that we could have life. And when we find ourselves in You, when we put our faith and trust in You, not in our own actions, not in our own abilities, You give us all that we need. You give us Yourself, Your presence within us that addresses the brokenness of our hearts and changes us, but also allows us to express the fulfillment of the law by loving other people and by loving You. Thank You for how You've given us the opportunity to be called Your sons and daughters, to be welcomed as Your children, not immature, but able to come simply, able to grow into maturity, even as adult children, that grow to honor their father, their mother. We honor You. And we thank You for all that You've done for us in Jesus. As we prepare to gather around the table where we remember Him and all He accomplished for us, may we live by the power of Your Spirit new lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.